Studio 360.
I had these two friends in middle school, and the three of us pretended we were TLC all the time. So I was always Left Eye, and they were T-Boz and Chili, and we would practice TLC songs in my driveway. We would play the songs maybe on a little Walkman, even though it had headphones. You could try to turn the volume all the way up so you could still hear it. And we would try to do the songs and the raps and everything and do our own little dances that they would do in the videos. But on the last day of sixth grade, my school decided to announce the students with the highest GPA. And I was a sixth grader, but I had the highest GPA in the entire school, more so than the seventh and eighth graders. And the teachers made the seventh graders feel kind of bad that a sixth grader had a higher GPA than them. So I guess they remembered that over the summer. Because on my first day of seventh grade, the eighth graders just harassed me. I couldn't go down the hall without one of them pushing me or making a comment about me. They were calling me fatty. They would push me. They would try to trip me, all kind of stuff. I remember looking for those friends that I just had in sixth grade that I was, you know, imitating TLC with, and they were silent. And I get it now, because when you're that age, your first instinct is to protect yourself and not stick up for your friend. But I wished that they would stick up for me, and they didn't. So I remember going home and just, I was done. I was done. My mom, I love my mom to death, and she did so much for me and for my grandmother. She took care of my grandmother full time as a caregiver, because my grandmother ended up having dementia. And then us struggling financially, not having a car, you know, having to ask neighbors to take us to the grocery store and stuff like that. It was hard. And for some reason, I thought that the best way to help my mom was if she didn't have to take care of me. I thought that that was the best thing, if I just got out of the way. I had a moment where I just decided I was going to do it, and I locked myself in the bathroom, and I was going to take some pain medicine. I, for some reason, took my little CD player into the restroom with me, and I just sat on the floor and I cried. And my mom was outside of the bathroom telling me, just come out, please, don't you know. She's trying to talk me down. She didn't know that I was trying to take pills or anything like that. But she was trying to just get me to come out to talk to her. And I wanted to drown her out. So I put my headphones on and I pushed play on the CD player. And Waterfalls came on. In that moment, I decided to really listen to the song. As much as I enjoyed the song, I decided to really listen to it and really listen to Lisa's rap.
Not one God-given ray. Is it because my life is 10 shades of gray? I pray all 10 fade away. Seldom praise him for the sunny days. My only bleeding hope is for the folk who can't cope with such an enduring pain that it keeps them in.
She ended the rap with saying, dreams are hopeless aspirations in hopes of coming true.
Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me and you.
Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me and you. And I remember listening to those lyrics, and it spoke to me in such a way that I decided, no, I'm not going to take these pills. I'm going to get up and I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep going, because there's a rainbow on the other side of this. I turned the CD off and I took my headphones off and I went out of the bathroom and I apologized to my mom because I knew I scared her. And I told her, I was like, this song. I told her about the song. I said, this song just really changed me just now.
Well, I started listening to it myself. My name is Julia Williams Thomas, and I'm Angie's mom. I thought about what Angie had been going through, and I thought, oh, if I could just get Lisa to talk to Angie, maybe that would cheer her up. I called recording studios, record label companies. I called everybody and anybody I could think of to try. And I had some other co-workers and other parents say, girl, you crazy. I wouldn't be trying to call that woman. Well, you can stay in your mode, baby, and I do crazy things, whatever it takes. And so I found the name of her studio that she had at that time, not realizing that was located at her house. So when I called, there was this young lady on the phone answered, and I told her who I was and that my daughter was crazy about Lisa and how Lisa had really made an impact on my child's life. And I was like, if she could just say hello. And the next voice I heard was Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
I was in another room, and my mom was talking to Left Eye from TLC on the phone and explaining to her everything. And my mom comes in the room where I am. I was watching television. My mom muted the television. She said, someone wants to speak to you. So I took the phone and I say, hello. And she goes, hey, this is Left Eye. I dropped the phone. I dropped the phone. And so when I got on the phone, she said, are you okay? And I said, yes, ma'am. And then she was like, oh, you said ma'am. I don't think she was used to kids saying ma'am to her. So I'm Southern. I couldn't help it. And we were just talking, and she you kind of eased into it. You know, it wasn't a thing of from jump, let me talk her off the ledge. No, it was like, let me ease my way into it. So she told me, you know, your mom told me you've been going through some stuff. And she was like, I'm sorry that you know, feel like you have to end it, but don't. And she said, you know, you have so much to fight for. You got your mom, you got your grandmother, you've got so many things that you can do in your life one day. She said, don't take your life. She was a simple with it, you know, don't do it.
And I used to wish that my life would end. You know, my mom would look at me and say, oh, I'm so sad to hear you say that. And if you don't know what it feels like to be happy, you don't know what you don't know, you know, so it's like there's no hope. But doesn't really have to be that way, so.
She said, I'm talking from experience. And it may seem like it's hard right now, but I promise it will get better. I remember just, I was just more so stunned that it was Left Eye talking to me, but still it hit me. And I was like, yes, ma'am, you know.
Lisa said some things to her that really encouraged her in a way like I could never have done myself. At least I felt like I couldn't have, but it made a difference. It made an impact, and it stirred my daughter and encouraged her in a way, honey, that it's like, whatever, I'm going through this and I'm coming out of this.
TLC was the biggest girl group ever. At that time, they were like humongous. So the fact that my mom was able to find the number, the fact that we were able to get her on the phone, it showed me, okay, anything can happen. If that can happen, anything can happen for sure.
Angie Thomas is the author of The Hate U Give, which is her debut novel and which earlier this year was the number one New York Times bestselling YA book. And by the way, the two surviving members of TLC recently released their fifth and final studio album.